Our Bible reading today is from Psalm 142, Psalm 142. So feel free to look that up on your devices or in your Bibles at home and join with me as we read God's Word together. The Bible reading today is Psalm 142. A maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have a hidden snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me.
Thanks, Jonjo. Good morning, everyone. Good to have a number of you here and also those who are joining us online. Allow me to pray before we start looking at this passage. Let's pray. Father, we give you great thanks again this morning for the privilege of being together under your guidance and, Lord, being led by your Spirit. We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit, that we look forward to for you to speak to us. Lord, to encourage us through this psalm that was written thousands of years ago. But, Father, you still speak to us, so we thank you. And we look forward to hear and also to apply these truths to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me also remind you, we've got communion at the end of the sermon. So if you are at home, you might want to prepare yourself with a piece of biscuit or a small piece of bread and a glass of juice. It is exciting, isn't it, that in New South Wales, we are out of lockdown. And we can do the things that we missed doing for so long. We can sit at a restaurant and eat. We can have people over for a meal. We can travel not just within the 5-kilometer radius around us, but we can go regional, interstate. We can go overseas if we want to. And children can go back to school as well. And I'm quite excited that we've got a pigeon trying to get into the church building. So we're going to shush that pigeon, because part of the reason these things can happen is we've got all the windows open for ventilation. So I'm quite excited that next week we can have all of us back here in the church building. We can sing praises again. And maybe some of you had taken up baking during the lockdown. Maybe you might want to bring something that you have mastered during the lockdown for that special morning tea to share with us. So we look forward for that. The reason why we look forward for these freedoms is because we have been in lockdown for nearly 107, 106 days. For our own safety, we were forced to bunker down and stay at home. We were told to isolate. So we did the right thing. We just did that. We worked from home, studied from home. We went to gym from home. And we attended church from home. And we ordered stuff online. And we got things delivered to our doorstep. We Zoomed with our family and friends. While the more extroverted among us kind of struggled with the lack of people time, the more introverted secretly kind of loved it because you didn't have to deal with people. Now, this pandemic was forced on us, and then the isolation was forced on us too. But there are so many other reasons why we might be forced or why we might have to isolate ourselves, isn't it? Could be a sickness, could be a disability, persecution, a natural disaster, domestic violence, could be a prison sentence, studies. Our homes, our rooms, our probably a hospital ward or a bed becomes our only refuge. A cave that we retreat to. It is a safe place that we feel secure all the time. Now, you may remember a few weeks ago, we finished our sermon series on 1 Samuel, in that we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 22, 24, and we see David was running away from Saul. And in one of his fleeing away, he hid in caves. He was forced to isolate himself in caves. The psalm that was written, if you were listening to the reading this morning, it is a prayer that David wrote while he was in a cave. He was stuck in one of those caves. And although he felt safe and very secure inside this cave, as we read this psalm, we get the sense that he wasn't really tempted. He wasn't tempted to put a home sweet home sign at the entrance of this cave. In this psalm, we hear how David felt being isolated in a cave and how he dealt with his isolation. Perhaps we might be able to relate to what David felt this morning. And indeed, we might be able to learn from how he survived the isolation in a way that honored God. So I want to look at this psalm in four headings. It's four P's, if you can remember. David's plight, his plea, and David's portion, and David's praise. Plight, plea, portion, and praise. David's plight. What was David's plight? You see, although his life was safe, as he said earlier, listen to how the psalm describes David's plight. Now look at verse 3. His spirit grew faint. He was anxious, overwhelmed. Verse 3 again, he was afraid to wander out because men have hidden traps in the path. Verse 4, we don't know whether David, his 400 men who were following him, whether they were inside the cave or not, but he felt terribly alone. Verse 4 continues, he feels, no one is concerned of me, no refuge, no one seems to be caring for my life. People seem to have forgotten me completely. Verse 6, he was in desperate need. We don't know what it is. But he was in a desperate place. Verse 6 continues, he felt overwhelmed and powerless against his enemies. And verse 7 describes being stuck in a cave. It's like being in a prison. Now, regardless of why we are in isolation, we may feel the plight of David. You may feel overwhelmed hearing all the bad news that comes on the TV, the latest case numbers, the death tolls around the world, the conspiracy theories, or receiving perhaps test results of a medical test. You may be afraid to wander out of your houses. You are hesitant to go shopping again. You are hesitant to catch public transport. You are hesitant to come to church again because you are afraid of getting sick and dying. You may be feeling alone. You can't see your family and friends. Despite attending Zoom meetings all day long or having thousands of Facebook friends or social media friends following you, you feel terribly alone. No one seems to understand the fears and the struggles that you are going through. Everyone is busy taking care of themselves. It seems everyone has forgotten you. Out of sight is indeed out of mind. But being alone, isolated, being on our own can not only be a scary or a lonely place, it can be also a place of spiritual danger. Because sin thrives in isolation. Isolation can be a breeding ground for bad habits or a place where old habits kind of re-emerge. Be selfish. Look to our own needs and our own health. We are tempted to overeat, overspend, overindulge. We are tempted to abuse substance, especially for young folk. Unrestricted screen time, playing games, watching movies, pornography. In isolation, it is too easy, friends, to both hide our sin and also to feed our sin so secretly, because no one knows. You don't have to be accountable to anyone. And we could get used to, right, can't we? We could get used to not coming to church again, not serving, not sharing the gospel, and not being discipled at all. Perhaps you can relate to that. Perhaps you can relate to David's plight. But how did David survive the cave? How did David spend his isolation? That's David's plea. Verse 1, he cried out to the Lord. He lifted his voice to the Lord. Verse 2, he poured out his complaint before him. Before God, he told all his troubles. Verse 5 and 6, again, he cried out to the Lord. So how did David survive the cave? How did David survive his isolation? He reached out to his God in prayer. Because David knew that he was not alone, even in the darkest, the scariest, the most loneliest place. Have a look at verse 3. He says, when my spirit fainted, when I grew faint within me, it is you who knew my way. God knew his way. God knew exactly where David was and how he was feeling, what he was going through, not only his struggles, not only his fears, but also his sin. And he reached out to God in prayer. Notice three things about prayer in the cave. Cave was the perfect place to be alone with God, wasn't it? I cried out to the Lord. Verse 2, my complaint was before him. Before him, I told all my troubles. The Hebrew word translated before him actually means in the face of God. It was like David was face to face with God when he prayed. And this is what prayer means, isn't it? When we pray, we come face to face with our God. It is uninterrupted time with God, and isolation, caves, provides great time, a great place, a perfect place to be alone with God. And then the other thing is, David had the opportunity to be honest with God, didn't he? He cried out, he lifted up his voice, he poured out his complaint, he told about all his troubles. In other words, friends, David didn't have to pretend, or he didn't have to come up with this rosy, flowery language or a formula to come to God. No, he was able to come as he is. He didn't have to worry about what other people might think. You know, you kind of pray and you kind of say, what would people think? Because he was all alone with God. He could have told anything to God in any way he wanted. And again, being in isolation gives the perfect opportunity to be honest with God in our prayers. It is also an opportunity to admit our insufficiency and the sufficiency of God. You see, David wasn't saying, God, I've got everything sorted. I've got everything figured out. I just need a little boost. Would you just do that for me today? No, he was admitting his own insufficiency, wasn't he? Verse 3, David admits that his spirit grows faint. Verse 4, he admits there's no way out. There's no one to help. He's all alone. Verse 6, he admits that it is a desperate situation and he is so powerless. Sometimes, friends, God causes us to seek him by driving us to him through this loneliness that we experience. He brings seasons into our lives where we are forced to look straight at our insufficiency, at our inability. We can get depressed, we can get angry, or we can see it as a gift from God. Isolation is a great benefit if we have drawn near to Christ during those periods. Even if you are not in isolation, no, we are not in isolation. Now, it would be really a good exercise to carve out regular time to be alone with God. Now, I've got Thursday mornings kind of carved out in my diary so that I can be alone with God. And I know Pastor Kel, he goes bush every quarter or so. I think he's missing going bush. I can see from his face, he's tired. But not all of us can do that. Not all of us can go bush. But it is good for us to carve out some regular time to isolate ourselves with God. Uninterrupted time with God. To reach out to God during those times. You see, friends, lonely, scary, gloomy, snare-ridden caves, they become good closets for prayer. It was a good closet for prayer for David, and it should be for us as well. Then we hear about David's portion, David's plight, his plea, David's portion. Verse 5, it says, I cry out to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Though David was hiding in a cave, he didn't see the cave as his refuge, did he? No, he saw the Lord as his refuge, the safe place. Now, portion in the Bible is usually means inheritance, something that was given that you look forward to, something that is so precious. And David says, God is his portion. In other words, David admits, God is all he has and God is all he needs. You see, these two words, refuge and portion, tells us how completely he trusted in God while he was in isolation, while he was in the cave. Because another reason, another danger for being isolated is that we begin to trust in our own works, don't we? Our own efforts, our own houses, our own safety measures, our caves, our vaccines, our medical systems. But David invites us not to go down that path. Yes, take vaccines. Be safe, obey the government, stay home, do the right thing, wash your hands, but trust in the Lord. Trust in his ability to protect and to provide. Because you and I can do everything possible, can't we, to be safe. But unless the Lord saves. Lord saves us. Lord keeps us safe. We won't be safe. Vaccines won't work unless the Lord works in our bodies. In the cave, in isolation, let us remember the Lord is our refuge and our portion. He is more than sufficient. We sang earlier beautifully, didn't we? That if God is for us, who can be against us? And I think we need to put that into practice, not just when we are with people, but when we are in our caves, in our isolation chambers, or in our rooms, in our hospital beds. Finally, we come to David's praise. David's praise, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of this prison so that I may praise your name. The righteous will surround me because of your goodness to me." Having thought about God as his refuge and portion, David now moves from despair to confident hope. He knows that he is weak, but his God is stronger. So by faith, he looks ahead to the time when he will give thanks to God for his mercies. And note that David is not saying, David's focus is not, "Lord, deliver me so I will be happy again," because so often that is the implied aim of our prayer, isn't it? "I'm unhappy, I'm feeling terrible, Lord, these trials are too hard, it is too difficult, deliver me so that I'll be happy, deliver me that I will be out of pain." Just pray that prayer, but the motive for prayer should be, "Deliver me so that I may praise you again." That was David's motive, wasn't it? Deliver me so that I may praise you again. The Hebrew word for praise means to confess, to acknowledge, and David wants to acknowledge God, his faithfulness, his mercy, his character. But where does he want to do that? Where does he want to do that? The psalm, if you remember, if you look back a few verses earlier, it began, David, all alone. It began in isolation, in the cave. But the psalm ends with surrounded by people. David is surrounded by people. Verse 7, David is anticipating that there will be righteous people around him, joining him in praise. In other words, friends, although isolation in the cave was good for a short time, it was safe, David looks forward for the time when he is back with God's people. He looks forward to be back in the assembly. He looks forward to be surrounded by God's people again. Now, what does that mean for us? Means don't get used to being alone. Don't plan to have a homesick home in your cave, a homesick home sign in your cave. Yes, Zoom church was good. Zoom Bible studies were good. It allowed us to connect in some way. The home protected us from the virus. But get ready to come back to church. Get ready to be with God's people again. Get ready to worship with others. Get ready to serve with others and serve others. Get ready to share the gospel again. Get ready to be encouraged and challenged by people around you. Because we cannot, friends, we cannot do all of the above sitting in a couch, sitting in our living room. You need the church, and the church needs you. It is indeed good that the lockdown in Sydney is over, from next week, we can have people back in person, and albeit with a few restrictions, and then we hope that all those will be taken off very soon. We look forward to praising God with you again, in person. But I know some of you are still not sure of coming back. You may still be afraid. Some of you will have a weak immune system, and you need to be careful. You may have your own reasons as well. So take your time, but don't get used to being isolated. If you're stuck in the house and you can't get out of your bed because of a disability or for some other reason, try your best to connect with the church community. Now, one of the blessings of COVID is that most of the churches was able to get online and have online services, and I expect these services will continue. It's a great blessing. Try and connect with an online church. Connect with people and in a congregation. Pray with them. Ring people around. Message people. Able to. Let us look out for those who are in isolation. The lonely among us. Let us reach out to them. Let us not isolate them. Let us reach out and let us make them part of our community. See, although isolation, being in a cave, friends, being stuck in our houses or in our rooms for our own safety, it can be a scary, very lonely, dangerous place to be. But if these seasons does not lead us to go deeper in our faith, in our prayer life, in our praise, I think we've missed the lesson of the cave. We've missed the lesson of the cave. In the plight of our isolation, we must make our plea to God. Make him our portion so that we can praise him again with his people. In a moment, we are going to take part in communion. And if you're here, I'll encourage you to get your communion sets ready. And if you're at home, you might want to do that too. And as we eat the bread and as we drink from the cup, we remember that Jesus died for our sins and he rose back to life. But we also remember the pain and the agony that he felt on that cross. We remember the pain that he felt was not only because his hands and his feet were nailed to a cross. He felt the pain of being isolated. He felt the pain of being alone, not just by his best friends, no, by his heavenly Father. Hanging on a cross, you may remember, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was rejected, friends, for our sins. All our infirmities was laid on him. And yet, even in that utter, lonely, isolated place, we also hear Jesus praying, don't we? Into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus entrusted himself to the care and the protection of his Father, knowing full well that God is able to rescue him. And after 3 days, God indeed raised him from the dead. And friends, in Jesus, we not only have a Savior, but also a friend who understands, who knows what it means to be isolated, what it means to be alone and be abandoned. And he also teaches us what it means to trust in God in times of isolation. Allow me to pray. Father, once again, we give you great thanks. Not just because we are saved and redeemed, but Father, we thank you that we have a relationship with you. Our Redeemer, our Friend, our God, our Father. So Father, we give you thanks again for this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.